following the Lord at this time. And as a result of these multitudes following him, some were seeking loaves and fishes. He had performed a miracle in which he was fed thousands from loaves and fishes. And they were following him just to get free meals. Others were following him out of curiosity. They had heard of miracles he had performed and of the lessons that he was teaching. And they were curious about those things. They wanted to see and hear those things. Of course, there were a few in the group that followed him earnestly, who were truly wanting to listen to his word and make application to their lives. He weeded many of them out by his challenges that he told them that they must do. He told them that they had to hate their father and mother. In other words, the words that were used were that you need to love less your parents than me. Love me first. Love me with the love that is above that you have for your mother and your father. You must be willing to bear your cross. There are going to be hardships and persecutions and difficulties in following me. And you will have your own responsibility in doing that. Others will not be happy, be able to help you at times. So you must be willing to bear your cross. And you must have the attitude that you're willing to forsake all that you have in order to follow me. We remember the rich young ruler that is given to us at Matthew the 19th chapter. There he comes to the Lord and he tells the Lord that he wants to follow him. And he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" The Lord said, gave him several things from the law that he needed to do. And he said, "Well, I've done that from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And the Lord said to him, "Go sell all that you have and come follow me." The scripture tells us he went away sorrowfully, for he had many possessions. When we follow the Lord, it's important that we count the cost, what it's going to cost us to follow him. And he gives the example of someone building a tower, of going out and starting to build that tower and not having taken into consideration what it was going to take and the sacrifice to be able to complete the building of that tower. And that he would be shamed because he was not able to complete that which he had begun. The purpose of our lesson this morning is to emphasize the cost of success in religion. Remember, the word religion means to bind again. And we're talking about binding oneself to God again because we separate ourselves by sin. And so, what is the cost? What is it going to cost us to be successful in our efforts in serving the Lord and binding ourselves to him? Some of you have reached the point where they have come to expect a cheap religion. When it comes to converting men, nothing much to do. They just put your name on the book and just say, "I accept the Lord," and that's all that you need to do. Do it in a quick way. In a way that's not really calling for much sacrifice in any way. When it comes to Christian living, doesn't make any difference how you live. Just as long as you're a law-abiding citizen in the community, you can partake in things of a lustful nature and whatever you want to do in your life. It's just not that important. Or when it comes to training our children, have we come to accept a cheap way of doing that? And that we let the schools and the churches do it rather than spending our own time and effort in teaching them about God and about His Word? How often have you had Bible studies with your children at home this week to teach them the Word of God, to instruct them? It is important if we consider ourselves to be one that wants to be successful and not looking for a cheap way in religion, that we see the importance of doing so. Have we come to expect a cheap religion when it comes to the mission work, when it comes to preaching the gospel here and in other places? Do we get to where we just keep house for the Lord, that we just kind of want to stay status quo, that we don't want to grow, that we don't want to lose. We just want to kind of keep things as we go. We need to place goals before us. We need to have challenges. We need to be able to make sure that in doing the Lord's work, that we're constantly striving to improve and to do more and to do all that we possibly can. When it comes to ministering the needy, do we always say, well, they just brought it on themselves? Are we willing to help those when saints become very needy to help them, or as individuals to help those that are in need? It's easy to just take the easy way out and ignore it. But the Lord tells us we have a responsibility. There are three things that arise when it comes to analyzing the cost of being successful in our relationship with God. First of all, whenever we want to embark upon something, we want to know what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of this if I begin a work in this area? What's the reward? How much will it cost me? The cost is necessary to understand to be successful. And will it be a sure thing? What assurance of success is there? So whenever we embark upon something, we usually want to know, what am I going to get out of it? How much is it going to cost me? And am I sure that it's going to be a sure thing that I won't lose? Those are things that go through our mind on a regular basis. The cost, reward, and success are true considerations that must be taken in every walk of life. A new businessman that plans to start a new business, he must understand what it's going to cost him to enter into that business, how much he's going to be able to receive in projected revenues, and whether or not he'll be successful and that he can remain in business for a good period of time. The same is true when one enters a marriage relationship. Understanding the cost that is involved in, and not just monetarily, but the cost of commitment, the cost of that commitment and the reward that can be gained if we keep that commitment, and to be successful in that relationship is important. A farmer in planting his crop is one who considers what it's going to cost to plant that crop. What probably the reward will be at the harvest. And will it be successful in doing so? The same idea is such when one becomes a Christian, a child of God. We're challenged when we become a child of God. We're challenged to faith, trust, and obedience. We're challenged to believe in the Lord, to trust in what He promises, and to obey whatever He tells us we must do. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Speaking of clothes and raiment and housing, that sort of thing, the needs of man on this earth. When it comes to living the Christian life, are you willing to count the cost? It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes money. Work is involved. Our very best should be given to the Lord. In doing so, that will help us to be what the Lord would have us to be. When it comes to meeting our obligations in this life and preaching the gospel to the world, this too is important to consider. When it comes to the training and nurture of our children for the Lord, we must understand that we must meet these obligations, that God has instructed us that we have this responsibility to make the gospel known, to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We must understand that there will always be sacrifice. In Romans, the 12th chapter, the first two verses we read, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you're going to be successful in serving the Lord and doing His work as a part of a local congregation, It's only going to happen if you're willing to pay the price. Peter understood that. Peter said in Mark 10, beginning with verse 28, "See, we have left all to follow you," as he addresses Christ. So Jesus answered and said, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." Levi, that we know as Matthew, in Matthew 5, in Luke 5, verses 27 and 28, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. His name was Levi. As I said, we've become familiar with him as Matthew. And he said to him, "Follow me." And so he left all and rose up and followed him. Paul learned this principle in Philippians 3 and verse 8. "Yet indeed I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." How important is the Lord to you and to me? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. I want us to look at an attitude that David had. In 2 Samuel 24, beginning with verse 20, we'll go back to 18. "And Gad came that day to David and said to him, 'Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Anurai, the Jebusite.' So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Arunai looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arunai went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arunai said, 'Why has my lord king come to this servant?' And David said, 'To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people.' Now Arunai said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifices and threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king Anurai, has given to the king.' And Anurai said to the king, 'May the Lord your God accept you.' And then the king said to Anurai, 'No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which costs me nothing.' So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and for 50 shekels of silver. And he built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel." David understood that things had to be sacrificed of ourselves and offering things to God before it would be acceptable. Just to accept gifts and to give them to the Lord that cost him nothing would not have been a true sacrifice. The Lord's challenge to you and to me today is found in Matthew, the 16th chapter. He tells us, beginning with verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father and His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works." Are you willing to pay the cost of success in following the Lord? We've looked this morning at a financial statement that seems good, that we've been liberal, that we've been effective in what we're doing. And we could easily take the attitude and say, well, everything's okay. I don't need to increase my giving. I don't need to increase my time and my effort in serving the Lord. But then you become like the Laodiceans, just lukewarm. God expects us to show zeal and effort and sacrifice continually. And when something we're doing and serving the Lord is no longer a sacrifice, but just habitual, we need to recount how much we're really doing. The Lord asks for us to give Him ourselves totally and completely unto Him. Make your religion of great value rather than something that's cheap and useless and lukewarm. If you're willing to pay the cost to become a child of God, obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and are willing to repent of your sins and confess before men that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk a new life, a child of God. It's obedience unto God. That's part of paying the cost. Maybe you need to return from unfaithfulness. You've lived and conducted yourself in such a way that's brought public reproach upon the body of Christ. God says if you're willing to repent of those sins and confess them and pray to Him for forgiveness, He will forgive you. Remember them against you no more. And you can embark again upon a life of serving God, of sacrificing your all, and every opportunity that you have to carry out His will. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the beginning of a new year. Today is a day that we can enter into a determination, a resolve, that I'm going to do more this year than I did last year. And I am going to strive to always be obedient to the Lord's commands and whatever He tells me to do.